This is Tiger Cast, the official podcast of Princeton Athletics. Now here's your host, Craig Saxon.
Welcome back to the latest edition of Tiger Cast. You can subscribe to Tiger Cast through iTunes or other podcast apps by searching Princeton Tigers, and you'll have each weekly episode downloaded directly to your listening device. We are heading into the final weekend of September and the beginning of the Ivy League season for several teams, one of which will be focused on today's show. We will have Carlo Taglianti, the new head coach of the Princeton field hockey team, as they'll start Ivy play at home Saturday against Dartmouth. And we'll have Luke Katarius, the senior middle linebacker of the football team, as they will head to Lehigh looking to get off to a 2-0 start this season. Before we get to our interviews, let's take a look at a couple of the teams that are also opening Ivy play this weekend. As always, you can get the full composite schedule of the weekend, as well as all of the results afterwards, on GoPrincetonTigers.com. The two teams, besides field hockey, that open Ivy play are women's soccer and women's volleyball, both of which are trying to win another second straight Ivy League championship. I'll start with soccer. There are 4 p.m. start at Yale. Game will be shown on the Ivy League Digital Network and ESPN3. We're looking at the 2 highest scoring teams in the Ivy League, so potential for a little fireworks. Princeton and Yale both coming into the game with 17 goals on the season. Princeton at 7-1, as I mentioned, the defending Ivy League champion, led by Tyler Lucy, the program's all-time scoring leader, and a team that its only loss so far this season has come to the number 2 team in the country, West Virginia. So, you know, it's an interesting one because you don't really know what the ceiling of this team is right now. You know, they've had some very close wins. You know, a game they won in overtime after tying it up in the final 5 seconds. You know, they've had some, you know, more lopsided wins. But as always, once you get into league play, everything tightens up. The tests really become difficult. And, you know, this is your path directly to the NCAA tournament. Certainly the same way for volleyball and for field hockey. So a chance, obviously, for Yale to get off to a good start at home against the defending Ivy champion. I mean, you can't ask for a better way to get your season started. And for Princeton, you know, this gives them a chance to kind of build on all of their success from non-conference play, you know, and kind of get rolling in league play, keep the confidence, keep the momentum that you've spent now the last 3 or 4 weeks building up. So it's a 4 p.m. start again on the Ivy League Digital Network, and then 7 p.m. also on the Ivy League Digital Network will be the Princeton women's volleyball team. They'll go to the Palestra to take on Penn, really one of the best rivalries in Ivy League women's volleyball. You know, for this team, they finished so well last season, but it's not necessarily a situation they want to put themselves back in. If you remember last year, this is a team that went 0-3 to start the season and probably, you know, got left for dead by a lot of the other teams around the league. And, you know, they win 10 of 11 and just keep chipping and chipping and chipping and chipping away and eventually, you know, draw even with Harvard. But, you know, you don't want to try to do that again. So for Princeton, if they can get off to a good start on the road at the Palestra, knowing you have Harvard and Dartmouth coming to Dillon Gym next weekend, you know, for them it's a chance to get off to a much better start this year. So that's at 7 p.m., as I mentioned, on the Ivy League Digital Network. And you'll start on the Ivy Digital Network at noon with the field hockey team, and we'll get to our interview with Carla Taglianti here in a second. But this is a Tiger team that has played 6 games, and 5 of them have been against ranked teams. They're 3-3 so far. They're coming off a loss against Maryland, a top 10 team, on Tuesday night. But if you listen to this interview, you know, you'll hear Carla say this was their most complete performance to date this season. Certainly that's a good way to go into the league season. Now look, every team would love to have won that game. Every team would have loved to have been perfect going into the season, but playing well heading into your Ivy opener is really a good sign for this team. This is the ultimate bullseye in the Ivy League. You know, Princeton field hockey has dominated the Ivy League for basically this entire century. And so teams live for the chance to knock off Princeton. And Dartmouth gets the first one. It's a Saturday noon start on the Ivy Digital Network. The game is obviously at Bedford Field. If you're around campus, there's not a ton going on at home this weekend. So that's really a great opportunity to come out and see a Princeton team. You'll also have men's soccer at home at 7 o'clock and water polo as well. So a couple of things going on. But in terms of Ivy play, that's your first stop Saturday at noon, Princeton against Dartmouth. And let's hear now from Carla Taglianti. Carla, obviously, first time we've had you on. So before we get to talking about the team, I just want to talk a little bit about kind of your journey from playing at Maryland to coaching here. Was coaching something that always interested you? Because you got into it fairly early after your playing career. You know, how did you kind of get into the field?
I think when I was young, I thought it would be a cool thing to do. But I never thought it would be something I'd end up in. After college, I continued to play. And then I think I ended up coaching by default right after I finished up playing. And, you know, I don't think it really – I loved it right away. I didn't think at the time that it would be something I would stay in for the long run. And then kind of stuck around a little bit. And I think you know, when I went to UMass for my head coaching position, it kind of clicked at that point. But it's been kind of a journey. It's been a process, but it's something I always thought would be probably the coolest job in the world, but it's not something I was like kind of career planning for. But once I got in it, it was it's kind of addictive, and it, you know, it's been something I've loved doing, and you know, wouldn't want to do anything else at this point.
You achieved a lot of success in your time at UMass. So, you know, I'm sure you could have stayed there for a long time and been quite happy. What was it about, you know, and obviously there's a lot of tradition to Princeton right now, yeah. But what was it about this job at this time that really appealed to you?
You're right. I could have stayed. I think, you know, I was kind of at a crossroads of having to make that decision of what's best for me professionally, what's best for me personally. You know, I've always thought about Princeton. You know, I did an interview here at one point for an assistant coaching position. I knew a lot about the program and you know, obviously had been close friends with Kristen for a number of years. And, you know, it's a program that has always been appealing. I never thought the opportunity would kind of open up, especially this quickly. And, you know, it's hard to put your finger on and really articulate one thing or the other. It's just, it's Princeton. It's the opportunity. I think it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for me career-wise.
You know, you didn't start a week before the season, but you started fairly late in what would typically be the process. What's been the biggest challenge, you know, when you come in, you know, early June, knowing you've got preseason in late August, and you know, you're trying to, like you said, not only learn your own players, but the staff and the university and where you are recruiting. I mean, how much of a challenge have those 2.5 months been?
It's been interesting. I don't think it's something you know, you sit down, you could plan for it. You know, when I change careers and I'm only going to have a month to prepare for it. You know, I think I drew a lot from the experience at UMass in that transition. You know, obviously it's not a lot of crossover in terms of the time, but the one of the more challenging things I think is the relationship part of it. Coaching is a lot about relationships with the players, and you know, it's a big mentoring. There's a big mentoring aspect to it, but getting to know them, building trust with them, and them with me, and that part has been. It's not been difficult. It just takes time. I mean, you can't, you know, these aren't transactional based relationships. And I think the team has been awesome and really being open and trusting me and the staff and what we're coming in and doing. And they've really been on board with everything and their energy has been great. But that's something really we've been trying to dive into right away. You know, and I think credit to the team with that and the leadership. I think that they've been really open to the change. And the first thing we talked about when I came on board is, you know, how open are they to this transition and into change? And I think when they look at it, you know, they're either going to accept it or they're not, you know. And I think for them, I think they looked at it as, you know, this is the opportunity in front of them. I mean, I'm not going anywhere, but I think they did a great job with with getting on board and being excited about the change. I think you can, you know, they probably went through a whole range of emotions, but I think at the end of the day, they really got on board and they're excited to get going. And I think as we've had some success early, and I think that's just helped things.
Kristen didn't help you ease the transition with 5 ranked opponents in your first 6 games. And look, every coach would love to be 6-0 at this point, but you know, 3-3 with all these ranked opponents, what have you learned about the group and what do you think maybe they've learned about each other over this early part as you now head into the Ivy season?
Yeah, I think everyone wants to be under, you know, no one wants to lose a game, but I think the challenging schedule has been helpful. I think the schedule Princeton has played year over year and, you know, it has been pretty consistent. We just keep flip-flopping home and away. And so I think when the team goes into Albany and Delaware and they look at how they performed the past couple years against them, especially Delaware, I think getting a positive result in those games is important. I think playing UNC tight is important. I think a lot of was pulled from the game yesterday in terms of where they really, you know, see themselves. And I think, you know, you go into the season every year and you're like, what are our goals? And I think with any group you sit down with, they're going to say some, not artificial, but they're going to say some goal, but they have no clue in their mind if they can attain it. You look at them and they're just like, well, we want X. And, you know, we did that briefly with them, but we didn't harp on it. I just said, talk about it, keep thinking about it. And I think goals are something that you have your ultimate vision, but they kind of start to form and gain traction. And I think that's where we're at right now is they look last night and, you know, we're down our leading score and we played 2-1 to Maryland and probably had opportunities to win that game and played awesome. And I think they walk away saying, we're really good. We could make a run at this. So I think that the tough scheduling actually helps. I think it helps them know where they are and it helps them get confidence. But I think what I've seen out of them, what I've learned is this team, they're fighters and they have a lot of character. I think when you look at the situations we've been faced with, even down back to the opening game with, you know, we're short 2 starters and playing the number 1 team in the country and we play them tight 2-1. And I think when you look at Delaware and Albany of the shift of those games of being up and then down and chasing the game and winning, they really have a lot of character in them. And I think that that'll continue to show throughout the season.
You know, we're taping this Wednesday, the day after you played Maryland and played all these ranked teams. And, you know, so you have Dartmouth coming on Saturday. And, you know, a lot of times these non-league games can be a little more exciting to the casual fan because you're playing some of these ranked teams. But do you get a sense that your team is kind of ready to start Ivy play and play some of these traditional opponents? And I know, you know, you may not have played Dartmouth every year, but you played them last year at UMass. So kind of what do you expect from Dartmouth, and do you think this team is kind of ready to get going in Ivy play?
I think it's interesting when you shift into conference play, when you're the leader of your conference year over year. I mean, same situation at UMass. You know, similar hard out-of-season schedule, shift into conference, and now you're the hunted instead of being the hunter. And I think it's a different mentality, but you try to really normalize that and make every game irregardless, you're playing every game the same. And I think a big thing for us right now is really carrying the momentum forward from the past few games, but especially Maryland. It's really been the best game we've played start to finish in terms of mentality, attention to detail, just the grit and toughness that we had. I think if we can replicate that game over game, we won't have any trouble with Ivy play. But saying that, you know, then you get into all these outer questions of it's Ivy play or these extrinsic factors, but that's really on the staff right now to play that down and to really just, you know, the team has a fire lit under them right now and it's just our job to throw some more kindling on it. You know, I don't think that they need that much motivation right now from us to get up for this. I think they're ready. I think they're, you know, they've been a motivated group since I started in the transition. I think they want to prove something. But I expect Dartmouth to come out, and Dartmouth is they're scrappy. They play a little bit different defensively. They man mark everywhere on the field, which is kind of not usual for actually most teams in the country. But I think I think they'll look to mix it up. For us though, we just need to play our game and focus on us, and we'll be very strategic with what we're doing. But they just need to continue with that kind of drive that they've had.
Before we get to our second interview with Luke Katerius, let's look back a little bit on that football opener and then some of my expectations for Saturday. I thought, at least for me, I left the Lafayette game, I think, pleased that they figured out a way how to win the game. And certainly interested to see kind of how this team builds off of it. I mean, it's drilled into basically any coach, any football coach anywhere will tell you the improvements from week one to week two are where you see their biggest in-season jump. And I think there were a number of positives that you took from that Lafayette game, especially just finding the way to win it. You know, the defense making some big stops, especially in that third quarter, the offense grinding out that last drive and, you know, several third downs and a really good third down conversion percentage offensively, at least. But, you know, you also left feeling like, man, there's a lot of ways to improve. You know, pass game just off, you know, drops or, you know, the one forced pass in the red zone, and defensively getting off the field on third down, playing the ball, you know, and, you know, obviously you give some credit to Lafayette, but, you know, there were a number of times that I thought, you know, this team could have gotten away from those long scoring drives that Lafayette had numerous times and weren't able to get off the field. So, but when you have a game like that and you still find a way to win, I do think that's a positive sign, especially off of all of those close losses, you know, that Princeton had last year. Now you head to Lehigh, which just recently stopped scoring on Penn. 49-28 was the score, and Penn jumped out early in that game, I think 7-0, and then 14-7, and then, you know, before you know it, Lehigh's up 2-3 touchdowns and never let Penn get close. You look at this game last year, because they'll have their quarterback Nick Chafnisky back and Dominic Bragalone, the running back, both of whom had big, big games against Penn last weekend, and the score, I don't think, is fully indicative of how close the game was between these two teams last year. Princeton won that game 52-26, but if you remember, Princeton had the interception return for a touchdown, you know, recovered a fumble. Lehigh just kind of dug themselves a hole, and then this offense started clicking, and obviously that was when DeValve was healthy, and, this team definitely got on a roll. And so I think offensively, you can see some points get put on the board. I mean, Lehigh's playing well. They only come in with a 1-2 record, but then after, you know, kind of a tough loss against Monmouth in the opener, they played a very good Villanova team, awfully close in week two, and then, you know, really put it to Penn in week three. So they'll come in with a lot of confidence. I think this Princeton team will come in with a lot of confidence, and if their passing game is clicking a little better, you know, you're going to have two teams very capable of putting points on the board. And then obviously, then it turns the focus to the defensive side. For Princeton, this is a quarterback that's going to try to get out of the pocket and run when he sees the opportunity. He did it against Princeton last year. He did it against Penn last weekend. He has that ability to beat you both ways, similar to what we saw, you know, what we've seen a John Lovett do, or obviously what you saw Quinn Epperly do for a couple of years. So he can hurt you in that way. Princeton's going to have to contain him. It's a Princeton defense that can get a pass rush from its line. You know, Ty Desiree had the big hit on the interception. Kurt Aluba just looked like Kurt Aluba last year. It was great to see him back on the field. But, you know, Schlossberg and Jones and all those guys, they can get pressure up front. And I think they're going to need to do that, because as this pass defense continues to evolve, you know, the less you have to do with outright blitzing from your linebackers, and look, they're going to do some of that, but the more pressure you get from that front four, I think the better this defense is going to be. It's going to be a good matchup. I'm looking forward to it. It's Saturday, 12:30 at Lehigh. You can listen on WPRB 103.3. You can watch it on the Patriot League Network. A link to that can be found on the Princeton football schedule on GoPrincetonTigers.com. One of the standout defensive and special teams players for Princeton last weekend was Luke Kateria, somebody that they're going to depend upon again this weekend. And let's hear from him right now.
Luke, let's go back to game one. And it's always such a challenge for you guys because, you know, you're coming into a game where your opponent has already played two times. So, you know, they've kind of caught up to game speed. And it felt like that was kind of an issue, at least looking like it felt like it was a bit of an issue early on for you, because you clearly tightened up a lot in the second half. What were some of the challenges of that first quarter, besides just, you know, the challenges of Lafayette in terms of, you know, just catching up to game speed and everything?
Yeah, I definitely think that it took a little while for us to settle in. I think it was just first game jitters and just getting the rust off our pads. So I think just everyone was a little nervous, but I think definitely as the game went on, like you said, we settled down and got control of ourselves and played together and eventually won the game.
You know, I know you try to replicate it as much as possible, but how different is game speed than even, you know, the most intense stuff you do in practices or even, you know, a scrimmage? Is there a significant gap in difference?
Well, Coach Race always has high tempo practices, and we run pretty hard during practice. But no matter how hard you go during practice, there's always a different feeling during the game. So
when you know, obviously when Rohan went down last year, you jumped into that starting role and flourished and had an all Ivy season. And now, you know, it's not like the two of you never played next to each other, but it does feel a little bit different now coming, you know, after those last five games for you. Now that you two are paired together, you know, as many times as you are, do you feel like you're really maximizing kind of your you know, that you complement each other's skills and feel pretty comfortable with him next to you?
Yeah, I think we complement each other very well. Rohan's a great player, and he's had a little more experience than me on the field. But I think this camp especially, we're definitely gelling, and this first game went pretty well. But I think as the season goes on, we'll be playing more off of each other and know each other's strengths more and more, and I think that will help a lot.
There were, you know, we talked about a lot of positives that kind of came after that, you know, first quarter or so. But for the game, I thought one of the things, and even Coach Cerase mentioned it, that was disappointing was getting off the field on third downs. And I know that that's something that your team really prided itself on last season. When you look back on film, you know, was it an execution thing that was hurting you on third downs? And how much of an emphasis has that been kind of early this week?
Yeah, well, Coach Salgado always gives us goals for the week, and one of those goals every week is get off the field on third down because it's our money down. We need to get the offense back on the field. But I think I don't think it was lack of execution. I just think that it was they were getting the ball off pretty quickly, and we didn't really get that much of a pass rush just because they were getting the ball off so quickly. And I think we will adjust and we'll work to get off the field better on third down.
You know, you're obviously you earned all Ivy last year for your play on defense, and it'll be your central focus. But you had two, I think, consecutive special teams tackles on kickoffs that really pinned Lafayette deep. And, you know, I wonder just do you enjoy special teams? Because it looked like I watched you, especially on the second one after that first tackle, but, you know, it looked like you just were on a dead sprint straight line right to the returner. Is it how much different is the mentality going into a special teams play like that as defense? And do you enjoy that aspect of the game?
Yeah, well, a lot of the guys on special teams are defensive players. So I treat it, Coach Gleason preaches it like another defensive play. So, and obviously offensive play too for on kick return or punt return. But yeah, I love special teams running down on kickoff. It's a great part of the game, and I definitely do enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, it looked like especially the second one, the tackle, again, putting them inside, it looked like it was a lot of fun. And now you guys head into Lehigh, and, you know, with Lafayette, you saw a quarterback who, you know, is going to stay in the pocket a fair amount and kind of really, you know, spread it around. And now you get a Lehigh team with a quarterback you saw last year who's much more mobile, you know, and certainly has, you know, certainly will throw it, but has that dual threat. Somebody probably similar to what you see a lot in Lovett. How much of a challenge is it with that type of quarterback that you know is very capable of beating you with his legs as much as his arm?
Yeah, he's a great player. We've been watching film on him, and he definitely likes to run the ball. He's a great athlete, has a great arm. So we definitely have to be gap sound, be disciplined sound. Everyone has to do their job because he can use guys, or I mean, if we're undisciplined, he could pull the ball on a run on a RPO and throw it deep. So definitely just got to be disciplined and be ready to go against him.
Do you feel like, you know, there's a lot of talk always that, you know, a team's biggest improvement during the season always comes from like week one to week two, because you're seeing things on film against a different opponent. Do you feel like going into the second game that you'll be in a better position, you'll be either more ready to execute on certain plays or just overall because of what happened last weekend, and because you'll probably, against a team that just put up 49 points against Penn, I assume you feel like you have to play a better defensive game overall?
Yeah, I agree. I think that they're a really good team offensively. They're stacked. They have great receivers. Their quarterback is good, like you said. And their running back, I think, rushed for 1,000 yards last year. And their O-line is pretty good, too. So we definitely have to step up to the challenge. We have to be ready, especially going to their place. It's going to be a good environment. And we just got to make the corrections from last week and just play better overall. And I think we'll be good.
Yeah, I hear people say sometimes, well, I mean, it's not an Ivy League game. It's not an Ivy League game. And ultimately, you know, you're playing for an Ivy League championship. But the amount of work that you put into a season and the fact that you only get 10 of these, can you explain how important, even though, you know, especially those three non-league games are for you guys, and how they can shape kind of the overall, you know, way you view your season?
I mean, especially for seniors, I feel like the 10 games, only playing 10 games is like really always in their mind, just because like it keeps getting less and less each week. So, I mean, we treat every game like it's our last, like we especially use it going into Ivy League play to make sure that, I mean, if there are going to be any errors, that we have them in these games. Not saying that we don't treat them differently, but it's better. Then when we get into Ivy League play, obviously we're fighting for an Ivy League championship, but these games still do mean a lot, and we try to win every game. So,
TigerCast is a production of the Princeton University Athletic Department. You can subscribe to TigerCast on iTunes or catch new episodes every week by visiting goprincetontigers.com/TigerCast.